doesn't understand the situation. Okay, so for this second hour, we will be hearing a brief interview that I had with a member of Knesset, Aryeh Eldad. But first, I'll play one or two selections from this very special a prayer service that took place on July 19th in 2006. Those of you who attended that, you know that was rather special. It was one of the proud moments for Cantor Benny Rogoznitsky and me. Just a few days before the event, we decided what could we do. Israel was attacked by Lebanon, and there were rockets falling all over Israel, and we decided to have a prayer service, and quite a few cantors volunteered their time. We had Helfgott and Ozzy Schwartz and Netanel Herstick, Cantor Malavani, Benzion Miller, Yaakov Motzen, Pinchas Cohen, and Shimmy Miller with his choir was terrific. And by the way, there was no rehearsal, and this was something that was just done more or less on the fly, but it was really, really something rather, rather special. So honor and respect to the in the morning of the Fogel tragedy, I'm playing these selections. I did play during the first hour Yaakov Motzen's Yiskarim, part of Avarachamim. Let's hear Netanel Herstick at that prayer service with Esau Einai, and right after that we'll be hearing from Aryeh Eldad, member of Knesset.
Yeah.
Well, as I mentioned, that was from a live prayer service that took place 5 years ago, just after the Lebanese attack on Israel. And if you missed the first hour, I know many of you just come in on the second hour on the archive. I encourage you to go back to listen to Yaakov Motzen's wonderful rendition of Yiskarim from that prayer service, and an outstanding conversation I had with Rabbi Przanski and then with Nadia Mitar. Let's now hear from member of Knesset Aryeh Eldad. I'm very pleased to have with me a good friend and a wonderful leader of, an outstanding leader of the Land of Israel, a member of Knesset, Aryeh Eldad. Shalom, Aryeh.
Shalom, Rav.
We're going through some very tough times right now, unusually tough, with the massacre that just occurred.
Yes, indeed. And we always have to remember in this situation that the murderers are members of a very long chain of armed murderers that we are acquainted with for the past 100 years or so in the Land of Israel. And they have their style, you can't deny it. They love their victims very hot and close, and they really like to do it with their own hands, not by any distance. We will fight these murderers, and I hope we will kill them. But this is not the main issue. The main issue is who are the leaders of Israel that in this time, in this period, can come out and claim that their hands are clean and they have not a shared responsibility with it. Because in the past couple of months, we are witnesses of delegitimization of the settlers in Judea and Samaria. Because there are some extremists among the settlers who go out and try to vandalize Arab property after the government of Israel destroyed Jewish property. They call it a price tag. The left and unfortunately the government as well are trying to make the whole settlers, the whole community of settlers responsible for such behavior. And because the government of Israel planned to push forward a new plan, the new speech of Netanyahu, Bar Ilan 2 speech, as they nickname him right now, that will include most probably more concessions to the Arabs, more transfer of land, more destruction of outposts, and so on and so forth. And they understand that this is a situation where the government will be in direct confrontation with the settlers. They want the public of Israel to look at the settlers as criminals, as people who are delegitimized. So they shoot at them in Chavat Gilad 2 weeks ago, and they arrest them if they try to resist the destruction of their houses. You arrest criminals, you shoot at your enemy. So this is, doing that, the government of Israel is delegitimizing the settlers and framing them as enemies and criminals. So the government of Israel is sharing the responsibility for what happened in Itamar, unfortunately we will have to demand a very quick and sharp change in this government policy.
It's also incredibly sad that there are Jews, Israelis, who see the settlers as the problem. They've fallen for the propaganda that is fed to them by the media that if only they didn't exist, that there might be peace.
Yes, that's true. We've heard the question about the family, the Fogel's family that were massacred. What were they doing in Itamar to start with? And then you have to remember the family of five that were massacred in Sbarro restaurant in Jerusalem. What were they doing it? Why they insisted to eat pizza at the land of Israel? And then the family of five that they were massacred in a restaurant in Haifa, and the hundreds and hundreds of people that were massacred in buses and coffee shops and marketplaces. Of course, the Jewish people is a nation of refugees and victims for so long that it is no wonder that so many of us became totally distorted mentally, that they come to the understanding that if so many people hate us, there must be something in their hatred. It's we to be blamed. It's the settlers to blame. It's the Jewish presence in Israel to blame. It's this really mentally disturbance is really annoying, but we have to understand this is the direct result of being 2,000 years in diaspora, becoming mentally distorted.
Yes, there was an interesting article in the AFSI Outpost a few years back. It had to do with the psyche of the abused, and that where the person who was abused starts to blame themselves, and what did I do to deserve this abuse, and how can I change so that the person abusing me will love me, and it is never going to happen. And this is exactly what seems to be happening, the guilt that some feel, and how can I change to get those terrorists, those Muslim haters, to love me? And it's never going to happen.
That's true.
Well, do you think there's any chance that we can have a change with Barack, who seems to be also a good part of the problem in terms of the treatment in the Judea and Samaria?
Barack will not change his policy unless he is told to do so by the Prime Minister Netanyahu. It's not Barack who is part of the problem, but Netanyahu.
Uh-huh.
If Barack would operate on his own, Netanyahu would correct it in a minute or two. But the fact that he enjoys the support of the Prime Minister allows him to abuse the settlers, to shoot at them, to destroy their houses, to do a really false justice by destruction, mostly Jewish illegal houses, not Arab illegal houses. Without the backing of the Prime Minister, he wouldn't be able to do so. If I have any complaints, I stop complaining towards the Minister of Justice, of Minister of Defense, that should be fired long ago. I have complaints against the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu.
Mm. I happened to watch a film yesterday at a presentation. It was the film of Amona, and I saw you being interviewed with your arm in a sling, and you, a member of Knesset, were attacked in that brutal attack against the innocent settlers. So I don't like to use the term settlers, but you know, the residents of Amona. It's tragic. It's tragic.
Yes, and not only that, I was recognized as with 10% of inability to work, to operate, for permanent incapacity to operate my right hand after that, even though the courts in Israel recognize the police brutality as reasonable amount of force.
Really?
To make a member of Knesset cripple using reasonable amount of force, trying to prevent me from trying to stop 4,000 policemen to destroy 9 houses. That's reasonable amount of force. Mm. So my feelings are not only against the Prime Minister and not only against the Minister of Defense, but I feel that the settlers do not enjoy the protection of the legal system in Israel. The other way around, they abused any measurements of justice when they treat settlers.
Well, member of Knesset Aryeh Eldad, where do we go from here? How can we change the situation?
We have the Eretz Israel lobby in the Knesset, 41 MKs. We are the largest lobby. We have the political power to stop Netanyahu from doing too much damage on his Bar-Ilan 2 speech, wherever he's going to make it or take it. And our duty, my duty as the chairman of this lobby with my colleague Zev Elkin from the Likud, our duty is to prevent the government from making irreversible concessions to the Palestinians, to prevent the creation of a Palestinian state in the heartland of Israel. This is the only mission that I took upon myself when I left my hospital and went to work in the political arena. And for the past 9 years or so, I'm working to prevent Israel from suicide attempt that they name the Palestinian state. I will do my best to not to allow her to commit suicide.
Well, Aryeh, we wish you the strength and the success on your mission. And you know that Helen and I and many Americans are with you. And we also pray for your success.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for taking the time to share your thoughts with us.
Bye-bye.
That was member of Knesset Aryeh Eldad. Helen and I interviewed him several times when we had our Israel Update program, and he is a most wonderful individual, and we're fortunate to have him in the Knesset. Okay, let's go back to that prayer service that took place 5 years ago. Again, this was at Bethel in Borough Park. I guess it's called Young Israel Bethel. And it was a very impromptu gathering. All the cantors volunteered their time, and Shimmy Miller had the choir there and did a wonderful job. Of course, you know, he's part of the cantorial trio, wonderful part of the trio with Zevi Muller and Yanki Lemmer. I hope we hear. Actually, I'm going to be playing the recording of that concert from a few weeks ago, sometime in the near future. Let's go back to that live davening service, that live prayer service, and Chazan Pinchas Cohen with V'Lirushalayim Yircha.
Berachamim, berachamim, berachamim etosu. Yerushalayim yirchu, veli Yerushalayim yirchu, berachamim, berachamim, etosu. Yerushalayim yircha, berachamim
Oh.
Well, as you can hear, that was at a live davening, and I have a Health God story to tell you. This prayer service was, let's see, Benny and I thought about it just a few days before that, called the various cantors, and the Ichemir Health God was in Israel. The concert was on Wednesday. On Tuesday, Benny was speaking to Ichemir, and Ichemir Benny said, "Oh, it's too bad you're not in the country. We'd love to have you participate." That evening, Ichemir called Benny and said, I'm getting on a plane. I'll be arriving at 2 in the afternoon. Count me in." And when he was finished singing this prayer, he was whisked to the airport to catch a midnight flight back to Israel. He came in just to participate and sing this one selection that we're going to hear next, Ribono Shel Olam, and it just tells you what kind of a wonderful person Ichemir is. Really, he's just such a mensch. Let's hear Ichemir Helfgott at that prayer service with Ribono Shel Olam.
Ribonoi sheloilo, ribonoi sheloilo,
ribonoi sheloilo,
ribonoi sheloilo, mechilo bechesed, mechilo.
Ichemir Helfgott, and this is Charlie Bernhout. I preempted the Purim special because of the tragedy that befell our Jewish people and the massacre. If you missed the first hour, Yaakov Morton started with Yiskarim from Av HaRachamim. Had a wonderful conversation, a live conversation with Rabbi Przanski of Teaneck, New Jersey, and then recorded interview with Nadia Matar. Interviewed her this morning. Also interviewed member of Knesset Aryeh Eldad, who you heard during the second hour. And now let's hear another interview that I did with David HaIvri this morning.
I have with me my friend David HaIvri, who is the director, the liaison director of the Shomron Regional Council. David, shalom.
Shalom lecha, Charlie.
Okay.
Well,
it's just a week ago that we were together here in the city, and so much has transpired. I'm calling to just discuss the situation and hear from you the latest on the situation in Itamar.
Charlie, on last Friday night, around midnight, there was a very terrible terrorist attack in the Jewish community of Itamar in the Shomron. A Arab terrorist, one or more, infiltrated the community. They jumped over the security fence and entered a private home and slaughtered five family members, the parents, the father and the mother, and three small children. And the terrorists succeeded in getting out, and three children of that family survived the terrorist attack. There's a great mourning going on now in the communities of the Shomron.
I understand there were perhaps 20,000 people at the funeral.
People in Israel are very, very hurt and pained by this attack, by the brutal slaughter of a family in their home, in their beds on Friday night. Very, very hard to understand a thing like this.
Well, we understand it. They're evil people. They're just filled with hatred. Such hatred. Can you imagine just taking a knife and stabbing a child in the heart to cause its death? I mean, these are, you know, they said that they thought that there were animals that had hit the electronic fence, and they were animals. These are not human beings.
Yes, that is true. The community of Itamar has been assaulted by terrorism over the past decades numerous times, and we've lost over 20 residents and students of the community to terrorist attacks. Each time that something like this happens, and I'm glad to say that it hadn't happened in a long time, and we thought that we were in a better circumstances, but each time that something like this happens, then all of the pain of the previous tragedies all comes back up, and it's very, very difficult for the community to deal with this.
And yet the Jewish people of Israel are asked to trust in the PA, the Palestinian Authority, and Abbas. Well, he continues to preach the hatred, and they continue to glorify these terrorists.
I do pray and I hope that we can develop a leadership for the Jewish people who understand that our main priority is the well-being of the Jewish people. And unfortunately, our current leadership are not wise enough to deal with that in an intelligent way. And they just keep negotiating with these terrorists and put us into this difficult situation.
Well, of course, there are those who, I'm sorry to say, in Israel, who feel that the so-called settlers, of course, we don't really refer to them as settlers, but apparently the media and the world seems to have fallen for this, the naming of them as settlers. These are really people who live in communities, you know, strong communities. They're not living in tents. They really are not settlers, but feel that settlers do not belong in that area.
Charlie, you know, the community of Itamar, which is just north of my home in Kfar Sapur, is in the heartland of the land of Israel. This is the most center of the, our national calling, the concept of returning to our land, of reestablishing our country, all evolved around our history, our Bible, our tradition, our religion. When we read the stories of the Bible about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all of those stories happened here in the Shomron, in Yehuda, in those same areas that the nations are pressuring Israel not to allow Jews to live in or not to allow Jews to build in. This is our main motivation for establishing our homes and developing this area, because we have returns to what is ours, our national homeland. And although in spite of all of this terrorism that's gone on over the past decade, the community of Itamar has doubled its size twice and again and established amazing educational institutions and amazing organic farms. And we will continue in response to the efforts of the haters of Israel to push us out. We will establish ourselves more and show the world that this is our land and it's where we will stay.
I read in the Wall Street Journal this morning that Netanyahu or the government has issued permits to build some hundreds or several hundred homes in the so-called settlement area. I don't know what the response. What's your response to that?
I think that it's pitiful. It's really insulting to the memory of the people who were murdered. If this is any way connected to some kind of response to their death, it's an insult to their memory. The government of Israel should not limit the building of Jewish people in our homeland. They've been mistaken for doing so. And now, in response to this terrible, terrible catastrophe, to issue a couple of building permits as if to say that the is it some type of payment, is just an insult to their memory. The government of Israel needs to allow free building and development for Jewish communities throughout Judea and Samaria. And they need to change their classification of certain communities that are labeled as unauthorized. The government needs to authorize those communities and consider all of them totally legitimate, because this is our homeland and this is our land. And it's the responsibility of the government to approve those buildings.
Of course, we are all interested in seeing the results of Clinton coming to the Middle East. Apparently there is talk of laying the foundations of a Palestinian state, and this, of course, is something that must be stopped.
Charlie, I might surprise you by telling you this, but there is a Palestinian state. It's east of the Jordan River.
Yes.
It controls two-thirds of the land of Israel, the Palestine Mandate of Britain, and the majority of the people who live there are Palestinians.
Right.
The only thing is that they're ruled by a tyrant dictator who's funded by the United States of America and oppresses the so-called Palestinians there. It's time that America demands that the state of Jordan hold democratic elections and let the Palestinians have the freedom for self-determination and control their own country.
Yes, a lot of people don't realize that about 80% or even more of the residents of Jordan are Palestinians. And was it Golda Meir who said Jordan is Palestine? I know some past prime ministers have been bold enough to state the fact, and why the creation of so-called Palestinian state on Jewish the Jewish homeland. It's really something very very offensive, to say the least. That's putting it mildly. I'm just curious about the resolve of the settlers. You know, do you find that after something like this there is a movement of people leaving these areas?
the community of Itamar and other communities have suffered the terrorism over the past decade, although the past few years have been easier for us in that regard. But still, during this period of time, our communities have grown and grown more again. There are no vacancies for people who are standing in line to join our community. And that's why there's so much pressure from within the communities like Itamar to the government, to Netanyahu, to allow us to build more homes. There are more and more people who want to live in Itamar.
Just one last question about the electronic fence that was built to safeguard the residents. It does appear that it was human error in thinking that the animal was not a human animal, as they are just animals, but that it was perhaps a dog or something like that. Hopefully they'll be able to prevent that kind of error from happening again.
I think that the answer to that is that the security, those responsible for the security of the state of Israel, need to smash out all of the terrorist elements and to not allow them to exist and to organize in Israel. The sensors and the technology that's used for the security in Itamar is very high level, and the people who administer the security there are also top notch, and even though they have all of that equipment and all of that expertise, still we see that there's human error. The at fault here is the Minister of Defense, Ehud Barak, who has been using our military to forward his political agenda against the settlement instead of using the military in order to protect the Jewish people in Judea and Samaria and Israel. I think that it's time that the government of Israel be accountable, and that the members of the government be accountable, and Ehud Barak should resign from his position for failing to provide security for the people of Israel.
Yes.
And if he does not have the integrity to resign, then Mr. Netanyahu should fire him.
Well, let's see what develops over the forthcoming weeks. And of course, we pray that you and all the others remain strong in your resolve not to give in to the terrorism and the hatred that is breeding nearby.
Thank you very much, Tori.
Okay, shalom. So we pray for your good health and your safety, for sure.
Thank you.
That was David Ha'ivri, who is the liaison office director for the Shomron Council. Okay, we have one last prayer from the prayer service. By the way, I will play at another time the live davening of Yossi Malavani at that event. This is the first time I ever heard this prayer. I don't know if you've ever heard one. It's called Kel Him Ba'u Goyim B'Nachal Osecha. And when I asked Ben Sion Miller, where did it come from? He said it's from Tehillim. It's Psalm 79, a psalm of Asaph. O God, the heathen are come into thine inheritance. They have defiled thy holy temple. They have made Jerusalem into heaps. They have given the dead bodies of thy servants to be food unto the fowls of the heavens, the flesh of thy saints unto the beasts of the earth. They have shed their blood like water round about Jerusalem with none to bury them. We are become a taunt to our neighbors, a scorn and derision to them that are round about us. How long, O Lord, wilt thou be angry forever? How long will thy jealousy burn like fire? This is Psalm 79 from Tehillim. Rather strong. This is a lengthy selection, by the way. It's going to go past the hour. I think it's about a 17-minute selection that was sung by Ben Sion Miller. But you will catch the flavor of the prayer, if you will. Again, this was taken taking place at the prayer service on July 19th, 2006 at Young Israel Beth Shalom, something that Cantor's World, Cantor Benny Regosnitsky and I put on we really didn't know what to do. Israel was being bombarded, and the only thing that we could really think of was to pray. And I know many of you who are listening were at that event. It was quite memorable. So let's hear Cantor Bensian Miller with Keil Him Ba'u Goyim B'Nachalosecha, Psalm 79.
Mizmor
Ever yearn, ever yearn, ever yearn.
That was Bensian Miller with the prayer of Psalm 79 that was at the special prayer service 5 years ago. This program was dedicated to the memory of Udi and Ruth Fogel, their 11-year-old son, Yoan, their 4-year-old son, Elad, and their 3-month-old daughter, Hadass, who were brutally massacred by Arab terrorists. And may their soul rest in peace. Join with me again next week. I'll return to a regular programming at that time. Thank you for joining with me, and shalom, everyone.